human-in-the-loop control strategy for IoT-based smart thermostats with deep reinforcement learning. Welcome to Journal Club. I'm Malcolm Diggs. Let's talk about thermostats. Not the Nest-style things you see mounted on the wall in America. I mean real thermostats. Thermostatic radiator valves, TRVs. If you spend some time in Europe, and especially if you go to an office building while you're there, that's what you're going to see. They are mechanical devices that look like a dial, and they control the flow of hot water into radiator tubes that are often mounted on a wall. In much of the world, this has been the default heating solution for decades. In their basic form, TRVs are cheap, reliable, and independent. But they're also dumb. They can't account for variable occupancy, they can't predict future comfort needs, and they definitely don't coordinate across different zones in a building. This is a problem because European buildings are an outsized contributor to the region's energy consumption and emissions. Get this, heating and cooling accounts for half of the EU's total energy use. Half! So in places like Germany, where office buildings only make up about 1% of the buildings, they're responsible for 7% of the sector's total energy footprint. Insane, right? The obvious low-hanging fruit is optimization. I don't mean replacing boilers or re-insulating walls. I mean making smarter use of the heating systems that are already in place. Smart TRVs, as they're called, are supposed to help with this. Off-the-shelf devices are now capable of remote control, automated scheduling, and even occupancy-based adjustments, but the vast majority of commercial deployments still rely on static rules or preset comfort bands. What's missing is genuine adaptability. Buildings are dynamic systems. Occupants work odd hours, change rooms, leave windows open, and override set points. Comfort preferences aren't fixed either. A temperature that's acceptable in the morning might feel cold after lunch. A control policy that fails to account for these patterns either wastes energy by overheating or compromises comfort by reacting too slowly. The technical bottleneck here isn't the hardware, it's the control logic. Static schedules cannot respond to short-term variability. Traditional rule-based systems can't balance competing objectives in real time. Even classical predictive controllers struggle when user behavior is uncertain or nonlinear. Simulations in prior research have demonstrated the theoretical benefits of reinforcement learning agents, but they're rarely tested outside the lab. The transition from simulation to real-world deployment is the present gap. That's the chasm we need to cross. Enter today's paper. In it, the researchers don't ask whether DRL, that's deep reinforcement learning, could work for smart thermostats, but whether it can be made to work at scale in a real office building across multiple zones under real occupancy patterns with minimal human intervention. The goal is not to beat a PID controller in simulation. The goal is to develop a policy that adapts intelligently to dynamic occupant behavior, preserves comfort, reduces energy consumption, and remains stable when deployed across heterogeneous thermal environments with all the noise, delays, and failures that real buildings bring. On today's episode, we're going to deep dive on their solution, a deep reinforcement learning control strategy. We'll break down how the authors structured their agent design, including the state space, the action space, and the reward function that enabled transferability from simulation to deployment. Let's jump in. Let's talk about what it actually takes to wire a reinforcement learning control loop into a working multi-zone office building. Remember, this is a production environment in a real building. It's a two-story office with individual rooms and meeting spaces. Each room is treated as a separate thermal zone. The radiators in each zone are connected to a central district heating loop, and local water flow is controlled by TRVs. Each TRV in the system receives position updates from the control agent via LoRaWAN packets. LoRaWAN is a form of low-power, wide-area networking. Positioning is quantized to one of six discrete levels, from fully closed, that's 0%, to fully open, that's 100%. The motor on each TRV is calibrated in step counts at install time, and the agent sends one of the six integer actions corresponding to predefined valve positions. These get translated into step counts and actuated by the valve controller. On the sensing side, indoor temperature is measured using ERS CO2 sensors, which also report occupancy data. These sensors are also LoRaWAN enabled and deliver timestamp telemetry to the backend. Speaking of backend, All communication flows through a centralized IoT server. The RL agents, the reinforcement learning agents, themselves are containerized services that receive pre-processed sensor data, compute the next action, and dispatch control signals on a fixed 10-minute interval. That time step is important. It reflects a compromise between building thermal time constraints and the latency budget imposed by LoRaWAN and the backend processing. Critically, the RL system is not just reactive. It incorporates predictive inputs as well. Occupancy forecasts are provided as two signals, one that counts down minutes to the next event within a 6-hour window, and another that covers the next 24 hours. Comfort preferences are also time varying. In future stages of the project, these will be gathered from user inputs via smartphone apps, but in the current deployment, they are randomized across weekdays to simulate behavioral diversity. These parameters are all injected into the agent's observation vector, alongside temperature deltas, action history, and external weather data, including solar radiation. From a systems integration standpoint, one of the more subtle challenges here is coordinating timing across asynchronous sensors, actuators, and inference services. Communication failures, or timestamp mismatches, and delayed actuation all affect the observability of system state. To address this, the authors designed the control system to be fault-tolerant at the edge. The agent doesn't assume real-time synchronization. Instead, it learns to operate effectively under intermittent telemetry and slow feedback loops. This is a design choice that reflects the real constraints of most building automation environments. The entire control stack is built around the idea of bridging simulation fidelity with practical deployment. That starts with the simulation environment itself. Instead of using a simplified or abstract model, the authors trained their agents in a high-fidelity thermal simulation built in Modelica. To make it usable from Python, the authors exported the Modelica system as an FMU and wrapped it with the FMPy library. The reinforcement learning environment was built on top of Gymnasium, which handled the interaction loop between the agent and the FMU-backed simulation. This setup allowed them to treat the building's thermal state like a standard MDP, but with realistically slow and noisy transitions that reflect actual HVAC dynamics. For the reinforcement learning agents themselves, two stacks were used. A baseline DQN agent was implemented using Stable Baselines 3 with PyTorch. This agent operated on a simpler MDP with occupancy schedules and comfort temperatures that remained static across episodes. It served as the control baseline both in simulation and the real deployment. The advanced agents, including the Rainbow DQN, were implemented using Ray RLib. This switch was motivated by the need for better hyperparameter tuning, support for population-based training, and more efficient training throughput. RLib provided native support for distributional DQN variants, noisy networks, prioritized replay buffers, and multi-step returns, all of which were leveraged in the Rainbow configuration. The Rainbow agent was trained using a 3-layer fully connected network with 256 neurons per layer, selected through a separate architecture optimization run. The action space was discrete, sized at 6 levels, representing both thermostat positions in the deployment and water mass flow rates in simulation. This allowed the same agent to be used across both environments without changes to the output space. The state space was richer in the advanced agent, incorporating occupancy forecasts, thermal deltas over a training window, and current and predicted weather inputs. Time series were normalized and clipped to improve training stability. If you've ever tried to train a control policy in a partially observable environment with sparse feedback, you know that the reward design is often the difference between a converging agent and a twitchy mess. In the context of thermostat control, the authors had three competing objectives to encode. 1, maintaining user comfort. 2, reducing energy consumption. And 3, avoiding unnecessary actuator movement. Each of these behaviors interacts in nonlinear ways. Comfort violations are expensive, but so is overcorrecting. And in a battery-powered network, every valve actuation eats into device longevity. So here's what they did. The reward function is structured as a weighted sum of 3 penalty terms. Each term represents a different cost signal: comfort deviation, energy expenditure, and actuator movement. These are not additive rewards. They're penalties applied based on deviation from the expected behavior. When the agent does its job correctly, it gets 0. When it doesn't, the negative signal scales proportionally with the severity of the violation. That framing accelerates learning by clearly marking undesirable states without needing to handcraft positive reward contours. Let's look at each penalty in more detail. The comfort penalty is piecewise. If the current room temperature is inside the allowable comfort band, which is centered on an individualized target set point and spans 3 degrees Celsius, the penalty is normalized based on the deviation from the set point. If it's outside the band, the penalty is increased by a fixed constant. This forces the agent to prioritize staying within the comfort interval and not minimizing distance to a theoretical optimum. Importantly, the comfort penalty is also occupancy dependent. It's only applied at full weight when the room is actually occupied. And the weight is scaled down during predicted occupancy periods. If no occupancy is expected for over 24 hours, comfort penalties are mostly ignored. Energy penalties are normalized against a reference heat flow of 1,000 watts. At each time step, the actual heat flow from the radiator is scaled relative to this reference, producing a continuous energy penalty signal. This discourages the agent from brute forcing temperature corrections via prolonged, full open valve positions. The actuator penalty is based on two features. The first is the change in thermostat position from the previous time step. The second is a rolling average of the magnitude of changes over the past 5 control steps. Both values are squared and normalized, and the final penalty is computed as their mean. This double-layered tracking helps the agent identify when it's overreacting or flip-flopping, even if the net result is staying within the comfort zone. Each of the 3 penalty weights, comfort, energy, and actuator, are dynamically adjusted based on occupancy context. During active occupancy, comfort penalties dominate. In unoccupied hours, energy and actuator penalties carry more weight. These weights are hyperparameters tuned via population-based training, and they play a significant role in shaping the final policy behavior. Taken together, this reward structure provides a strong shaping signal for a human-in-the-loop control strategy. It allows the agent to learn subtle trade-offs, preheating based on predicted occupancy, backing off aggressively during longer unoccupied periods, and keeping actuator churn low when possible. More importantly, it decouples behavior incentives in a way that supports generalization. The result is a controller that doesn't just overfit to one occupancy pattern or comfort profile, but adapts its priorities based on real-time and forecasted human presence. Once both a reference agent and an advanced agent were trained and validated in simulation, the team moved on to real-world deployment inside the building. The first clear result was that the reference agent's policy transferred reasonably well from simulation to the physical environment. Predictive heating behavior held up. The agent began preheating ahead of scheduled occupancy and performed temperature setbacks during unoccupied intervals. However, the learned control behavior showed limitations in more complex scenarios. Specifically, the reference agent applied a fixed setback temperature strategy, typically about 2 degrees below the comfort threshold, regardless of the duration or variability of unoccupied periods. This static behavior led to inefficiencies, especially during long unoccupied intervals where deeper setbacks would have been safe and more energy efficient. Temperature regulation during occupied periods also revealed some weaknesses. In the simulation, the agent demonstrated slight oscillations around the comfort set point, which were acceptable due to the simplified thermodynamics. In the real environment, these oscillations became more problematic. Since the smart TRVs rely on stepper motors to adjust valve positions, frequent adjustments degraded battery performance and introduced unnecessary communication overhead. The agent's control actions were too frequent and too fine-grained for the actuation constraints of the physical hardware. Moreover, unmodeled external influences, especially solar gain, caused systematic errors. Rooms with south-facing windows exhibited overheating during sunny days, even when the agent had correctly executed its preheating and setback schedule. This was expected to some extent since the reference agent had no access to forecasted solar radiation and was trained on simulations without solar input, but it highlighted the risk of relying on narrow training conditions and a limited state space. Occupancy detection added another source of complexity. In the testbed, occupancy status was inferred from passive infrared sensors, which sometimes misfired during transient events like door openings or short absences. As a result, the agent would sometimes hold heating at comfort levels longer than necessary. The reference agent had no mechanism to deal with uncertainty or to revise its decisions mid-cycle, making it vulnerable to false positives and delayed transitions. Finally, communication delays and actuation latency affected the controller's responsiveness. The LoRaWAN-based TRVs had variable delay profiles, with response times ranging from seconds to minutes depending on network congestion. In practice, this meant that the control loop had more inertia than anticipated. Agents trained in simulation with ideal timing assumptions did not always respond effectively when real-world latencies were introduced. Taken together, the deployment revealed several gaps between simulated performance and field effectiveness. The key issues were not due to fundamental flaws in the DRL formulation, but rather due to mismatches in timescales, sensor noise, environmental variance, and actuation cost. All that being said, this deployment served its purpose. It validated that transfer is possible, but not trivial. Without a training curriculum that deliberately anticipates real-world complexity, even well-tuned agents will fail to generalize. And without accommodating the physical constraints of low-power IoT devices, theoretical efficiency gains can be wiped out by maintenance costs and degraded performance in production systems. So, what can we take away from this? Well, I think this paper offers a blueprint for what a viable smart thermostat system looks like when you're targeting real commercial buildings, not just simulation testbeds. The takeaway isn't that DRL magically solves the HVAC control problem. It's that if you care about occupant comfort, battery life, and scalability across rooms, then you must build those constraints into your agent's world model from the start. Otherwise, you'll end up with a fragile solution that only works in the lab. If you want to dig deeper into the technical setup, the PDF has full diagrams of the IoT infrastructure, the state space definitions, and the exact hyperparameter schedules used during training. It also includes the building floor plan, the real thermostat specifications, and detailed comparisons between the reference and advanced agents across different occupancy patterns. Thank you for joining me on today's episode of Journal Club. Hope you enjoyed it. Malcolm Diggs signing off. See you tomorrow.